ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
संसार सागरे मग्नम् दीनं मां करुणानिधे सर्वं ग्राह्य गृहीताङ्गम् मामुद्धर भवार्णवाल् श्रीमल्भागवदाख्योऽयम् प्रत्यक्ष कृष्णमेव हि स्वीकृतोऽसि मया नाथ मुक्त्यर्थम् भव सागरे मनोरथे मधीयोऽयम् सबला सर्वदा त्वय निर्विघ्नेनैव कर्तव्यम् दासोऽहम् तव केशवाम् भवे भवे यथा भक्ति पदयोस्तव जायते तदा कुरुष्व देवेश नाथस्त्वम् नो यद प्रभो नाम संकीर्तनम् यस्य सर्वपापप्रणाशनम् प्रणामो दुःखशमनम् तम् नमामि हरिम् परम् जन्माद्यस्य यदोऽन्वयादिदरदश्चार्तेष्वभिज्ञस्वरान् तेने ब्रह्म हृदय आदिगवये मुह्यन्दियल् सूरया तेजो वारिमृदम् यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषा धाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तगुहकम् सत्यम् परम् धीमहि धर्मप्रोजितकैदवोऽत्र परमो निर्मल्सराणाम् सदाम् वेद्यम् वास्तवमत्र वस्तु शिवदम् तापत्रयोन्मूलनम् श्रीमल्भागवते महामुनिकृते किं वा परैः ईश्वरः सद्यो हृद्यवरुध्यदेऽत्र कृतिभिः शुश्रूषुभिः तत्क्षणाल् निगमकल्पतरोर्गलितम् फलम् शुकमुखादमृतम् द्रवसंयुतम् पिबद भागवतम् रसमालयम् मुहुरहो रसिका भुवि भावुकाः सच्चिदानन्दरूपायाम् विश्वोत्पत्यादिहेतवे तापत्रय विनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयम् नुमाम् यम् प्रव्रजन्तम् अनुभेदम् अपेदकृत्यम् द्वैपायनो विरहकादयमजुहावाम् पुत्रेदि तन्मयदयतरवोऽभिनेतु तम् सर्वभूतहृदयम् मुनिम् आनतोऽस्मि यस्वानुभावमखिलश्रुतिसारमेकम् अध्यात्मदीपम् अतिथितीर्षदाम् तमोऽन्धम् संसारिणाम् करुणयाः पुराणगुह्यम् तम् व्याससूनम् उपयामि गुरुम् मुनीनाम् नारायणम् नमस्कृत्य नरम् चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीम् सरस्वतीम् व्यासम् ततो जयमुदीरयेल् कमलीयकिशोरमुग्धमूर्ते कलवेणुकुणितातृताननेन्दोः मम वाचि विचम्भदाम् मुरारे मधुरिन्ना कणिकापि कापि गावीम् नमा ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमदे भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिन् इति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवीम् गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादि पाश्चात्या देशदारिणे श्रीमल्गुरुचरणारविन्दाभ्याम् मम वन्दे नन्दव्रजस्त्रीणाम् पादरेणुमभीष्णश यासाम् हरिकथोद्गीतम् पुनादि भुवनत्रयम् गोपीचरणारविन्दपरमाणवे नमः पीताम्बरम् करविराजितचक्रशङ्खकौमोदगी सरसिजम् करुणासमुद्रम् राधासहायम् अतिसुन्दरमन्दहासम् वातालये शमनिशम् प्रतिभावयामि ॐ श्रीकृष्णाय नमः सो वी वर् लास्ट् सण्डे टाकिङ्ग् अबौट् दि Kapila Vasudeva's instructions to Devahuti Devi, and during that process we saw that a very important point, that when the mind is attached to the sense objects, automatically the mind engages continuously and start meditating on the sense objects, which is the natural process For example, if one has five senses knowledge and five senses of action. So through these senses, if one is enjoying the having sense gratification, what normally happens is that the experience of that sense gratification will stay in his mind. And in course of time, he will start thinking about that particular sense gratification later on, after the sense gratification is over. This is the natural way it happens. For example, if one has taken, just a simple example, if one takes sweet rice, for example, one has taken sweet rice, more harm is not while during the eating the sweet rice, but later on, thinking about it, so that sweet rice I had on that day of my marriage or on the day I had on another occasion, that thought of that will never go away from the mind. This is the nature of the mind. This is the point, important point, that if when the mind is attached to the material sense enjoyment, the mind will take all the impressions from the sense enjoyment and keeps in its memory. Later on, as and when a proper situation develops, the mind will bring that memories back to us and again start thinking and pondering over those thoughts once again. Because the nature of the mind is like this, in the Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna has again and again spoken this nature of the mind. In the Bhagavad Gita it says, Dhyayado Vishaya Punsan Sangaste Shubhajayade Sangal Sanjayade Kaman Kamal Krodho Vijayade Krodhal Bhavadi Sammoha Sammohal Smriti Vibhramaha Smriti Bhramshal Buddhinasho Buddhinashal Pranashyadi. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Dhyayado Vishaya Punsam. When one is continuously meditating on the sense objects he has enjoyed in his past, that is known as dhyanam. Dhyanam means meditation. So if one is meditating on the sense objects he has enjoyed in his earlier time in the life, sangaste shubhajayade, the result is, Krishna says, what will happen is attachment will develop there. Sangal sanjayade kaman. And he wants to enjoy that sense gratification he had in the previously once again. And if he is not able to do that or get that done, sangal sanjayade kaman, the result will be immediately the lusty desires will grow inside. Kamal krodho bijayade. From kamam, from the lusty desires, anger will develop. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, krodhal bhavadi sammoham. When anger develops from there, delusion comes. Sammohal smriti vibhramaha. When the delusion happens, from there what happens? Forgetfulness comes to him. Smriti bhramshal buddhi nashom. With the result of this smriti bhramsham or forgetfulness, what happens is buddhi nasham, he loses intelligence. Buddhi nashal pranashyari. The result of that will be immediately he will fall into illusion. That is what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. The same point Krishna has also spoken in the Ekadasi Skanda in the Srimad Bhagavatam. You will find there, Vishayan dhyayadaschittam vishayeshu visajjareem. Krishna says there, if you continuously contemplate on the sense enjoyment, Vishayan dhyayadaschittam vishayeshu visajjareem, that the result will be that you will be poisoned in your mind. That word visham or poison is used there. Vishayeshu visajjare mamanusmaramaschittam mayeva pravaliyade. But the same mind, if it is absorbed in me, Krishna says, you will become my devotee. Or in other words, you will absorb yourself in me at the end. So, this is the nature of the mind. Devahuti Devi, while speaking to Kapila Vasudev, asked a simple question. If it is like this, that the mind get attracted to sense gratification, enjoy sense gratification, and that same thoughts are coming back again and again, what will happen to me if I start meditating on Krishna? That was the question Devahuti Devi asked to Kapila Vasudev. Devahuti Devi's question is very important, because Kapila Vasudev immediately answered, exactly like your mind is gone after senses, if it turns towards Krishna, automatically what will happen? The result will be that you will become a first class devotee of Krishna. That will be the result of that. So that is how Kapila Vasudev explained that point to Devahuti Devi. Normally, the senses, the mind has mind is constantly interacting with the sense objects through the senses. The senses are the doors through which the mind makes that contact with the sense objects. We can easily understand that, whether any of our senses, if you take, the mind is actually the enjoyer. But how does the mind enjoy? Because he has got these five gateways of knowledge and five gateways of action through which he is constantly keeping in touch with the sense objects. This is all our life is about. The whole life is based on this thing. All the time we are doing the same thing. Now, if it is like that, suppose like the yogis do, yogis are saying that I will keep all my senses closed. I won't allow any of my senses to interact with the sense objects. Suppose the senses says that. For example, I keep my eyes closed. I keep my ears closed. And I don't allow to breathe anything which is not normal for me. For example, as well as any perfumes or anything. I keep away my nose from all sense enjoyment. Similarly, I don't allow my tongue to taste anything. If you control all the senses like this and not allowing any of the senses to interact with the sense objects, the sense objects is telling the mind that previously you were coming to visit us. Now that you have closed all the doors, we will come to you. That's the way they answer. That means that the one side, even if you try to close these gates and allow the mind not to go towards the sense objects. Sense objects are saying, okay, if they have closed the gates, don't worry about it. We will come to you instead of you coming to us. So this is how friendly they are, the mind and the sense objects. That's how closely they interact each other. That is why in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you will find that the mind and the sense objects are so closely related. And to break this connection from the mind to the sense object is a very, very, very difficult job. And therefore, in the Bhagavatam, in this referring to this, Kapila Muni, Lord Kapila says to Devahuti Devi that if this attitude, if you have experienced what you have, if you have thought through this properly, you can understand that if this attachment is developed for Krishna, then you have, your problem is resolved. You are out of your problem. Because if this same mind, if it is chasing Krishna and related to Krishna consciousness, then the mind is freed from the material existence. So that is the process of Krishna consciousness in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So to illustrate this fact, that there are so many examples also mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So generally, it is said that the mind is going after sense objects. If you can change the desire of the mind, instead of going after the sense objects, to go after Krishna, then that mind is freed from the result. The result is that the person becomes progresses in the spiritual life, or his attachment for Krishna develops. Now, therefore, Kapila Vasudeva says to Devahuti Devi that somehow or the other, if the mind can be focused on Krishna, then immediately your problem is resolved, because instead of going to senses, it will go to Krishna. Now, to get the mind attracted to Krishna, Krishna has appeared at different times in different incarnations. That is the purpose of all these different incarnations. Janmadho karma nama sputa viha guna dosha adigamva na yasmin logana mudayeya swayamani bhajari dani mayanusari. Why did Krishna take all these different incarnations? Malsyam, Kurmam, Varaham, Narsimham, Vamanam, Parashuram, Balaram. Like that, so many incarnations have appeared. In all these incarnations, a devotee gets the benefit from that. A devotee can focus on any of these forms of Krishna. That was the purpose of these incarnations. Loganamudayeya swayamanubhajadetani mayanusari. That was the goal of all these incarnations. But Kapila Vasudeva has given a little better understanding of all these problems. Although all these different incarnations have appeared, Kapila Muni says there that generally human society has one weakness in their mind. Any time when they see a child or anything in its baby form, automatically the attraction is stronger in the heart. For example, if you go to the Goshala, there are so many big cows standing there, and there are so small calves also there. Calves are also standing there. If you look at the visitors who come there, you will always notice they will go towards the calves, not the cows. They want to feed the calves all the time. They don't want to feed the big cows there. standing. Why is it like that? It is just a natural thing, natural nature of the mind, that anything when you see in the Shaishava form or in the baby form or little boy or girl, the natural attraction is always there to play with that child, because it is an attraction for the human mind towards that baby form or the childlike form. Therefore, Kapila Vasudeva says to Devahuti Devi that particularly Krishna performed these childhood pastimes in Vrindavanam only for this reason, so that the mind may get pulled into Krishna somehow or the other. In fact, if you look into all the other previous incarnations, like fish incarnation, kurmam incarnation, I mean tortoise, fish, tortoise, boar, varaha incarnation, narsimha, man-lion incarnation, all these incarnations, if you look there, there is no childhood there, is there? If you look into the fish, where was the childhood there? The fish was just small. In few hours it became so big that the king had to, Satyavrata had to throw him out from the pot into a large lake. And that's how that the childhood pastime of the fish. Varaham, if you take, you can see, it only takes a few seconds to grow to the largest size in the universe. That's how the Varaha's childhood was. As far as the Narasimha childhood was concerned, we cannot discuss that even, because it is so frightening that there is no question of playing with the Lord Narasimha's childhood baby form. It was full of anger and desire to punish Hiranyakashipu in few seconds and finish the business altogether. So there is no childhood there also. If you go further from there, then on, even if you look into Parashuram's childhood, or even forget about everything, even Lord Ramchandra's childhood, you don't find very much. Valmiki Maharshi had not discussed so much about Ramchandra's childhood. Ramchandra also must have had a childhood like Krishna had. Krishna had a childhood lasting so many years, and so many chapters in the Srimad Bhagavatam refers to that childhood pastimes. But when it comes to Ramchandra's pastimes, Valmiki Maharshi has not spent such a lot of time in discussing that. There is a very small references of how Ramchandra and Lakshmana, Bharata and Shatrughna gave pleasure to their mothers during their childhood days. That's all it generally refers to. There is not a lot of reference to the childhood. But when it comes to Krishna, there is in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is so many pastimes described about Krishna's childhood that it would be very, very difficult for an ordinary human being to ignore that in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Unless and until he has to be so stone-hearted or so much bound by the lower modes of nature that he can ignore Krishna's childhood pastimes mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So that is the beauty of the Krishna's childhood. And it was done only for one this particular reason. Janmadho karma nama sputaiha gunado shadigam vatna yasmin loganam utayeya swayamanu bhajadevani mayanasari. That Krishna has accepted these childhood pastimes, not that Krishna had to perform them. Krishna has performed them only with the one intention that somehow or the other the living entity may get benefit from that. That by enjoying these pastimes, that by simply hearing the stories of Krishna, which is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam, one will be able to get oneself absorbed in Krishna. So getting this mind absorbed in Krishna is the main purpose. And for that, Krishna has performed this wonderful childhood pastimes which is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So that is the process. Normally it is not very, very difficult to understand. I mean, sometimes you see this very easily in our own life. You look at, sometimes when you see a dog or there's a puppy, everyone goes after the puppy, not the big dog. And this is our nature. The nature of the mind is like that. And it is easier for the mind to get attached to that form of Krishna. So that is where Dhyana Yogam process comes in. Dhyana means meditation. And this meditation process of Dhyana Yoga is possible through this, through stories, rather than through meditation process. We will come to that meditation process in detail later on, when Kapila Vasudeva spoke about the Dhyana Yogam, how one should perform Dhyana Yogam. Earlier we have seen that the that the process of the process of Krishna consciousness develops in one's heart easily when the mode of goodness is predominating in there. When the mode of goodness is not there, no matter how much sadhana you perform, eventually that mood of goodness, the results, desired result will not come out easily. That's the difficulty. So the mood of goodness is important. And for that mood of goodness to build up, all these different ideas are thrown, or ideas are given by Lord Kapila while talking to Devahuti Devi. So this is what happens. For example, if you just think about it like this, and just as an example, imagine that you are in Vrindavanam, you are in Yashoda's house, they are staying there, Yashoda is there, Krishna has been bound by Yashoda on that particular day. What happened when Krishna was bound to the moksha by Yashoda Devi? Yashoda Devi, after Mother Yashoda, after the morning argument and fight with their beloved son, she tied him to the moksha and she went back to the kitchen to do her different duties. And she instructed Krishna that day that today you are not going to be given anything to eat, today you are not going to be playing anything, you are not going to be allowed anything. This is a punishment Yashoda Devi has given to Krishna that day. So after Krishna was punished like that, imagine what was happening in Yashoda's house that day. Krishna was standing there crying. He was crying all the day because Yashoda has punished him so severely that Krishna was not allowed to eat anything. Fortunately, Krishna has managed to hide some butter and he has kept inside the mortar. So he managed to pull that out when Yashoda Devi left and started eating that butter. While eating that butter, Krishna is crying also at the same time. With little boys, Krishna is only 1-2 years old at that time, 1.5-2 years old. When the boys have a nature, when they're crying, they keep suddenly breathing heavily. They start suddenly pulling the breath up and down again all the time because they couldn't bear that distress what they are experiencing and will come out through their heavy breathing. This is the nature of all the children. When they cry like this. So Yashoda Devi went away and Krishna was crying and eating this butter little by little what he had in his small bowl. At that time, and Krishna was thinking that what a distressful day today is. And on that day, it so happened that Kunti Devi came there to see Krishna. It was Kunti Devi's first visit to see Krishna. Kunti Devi didn't come alone. She came with Arjuna on her hips. Kunti Devi was holding Arjuna on her hips. And this is the Pradhama Darshanam as it's called. That's the first visit to see Krishna by Kunti Devi. After knowing her, that brother had a baby and she was so pleased to come and visit the baby. So it was the first time she had come to see Krishna. When she had come with Arjuna on her hips, and this is the scene, what was happening there. Krishna was standing there. And what was Krishna saying? Krishna was saying, could they not find another day to come and see me? Is this the best day they have chosen to come and visit me the first time? This is what Krishna is saying. Now, when Krishna was saying this, Kunti Devi was thinking, this person must be really a problem for the mother. That is what is going through Kunti Devi's mother. Apparently, Krishna was crying and trying to explain to Kunti Devi what has happened. Kunti Devi, being a good mother, knowing very well how the children act, did not take very serious notice of it. She just ignored everything, listened to all the stories, showed all sympathy and compassion to Krishna and left the place and went to Yashoda and started talking to her in the kitchen, and then they left the home that day. After Kunti Devi has gone, Kunti Devi's sister came the same day, that is Shishubala's mother. They came, and this was more interesting than the Kunti Devi's visit, because when Shishubala came with his mother, mother was holding Shishubala in her hand, and Shishubala had four hands he had four hands at that time. Krishna saw this child and started thinking, what is this special nature of this child with four hands? I never seen one like this before. Krishna was saying this, that I have not seen a person like this before with four hands. And as soon as Shishubala's eye went straight to Krishna, two hands dropped off there. Shishubala's two hands dropped away at the same time, as soon as Krishna and Shishubala's eyes hit each other. It was at that time Shishubala's mother realized that this is the person who is going to kill Shishubala. Because it was known to her that when the two hands, at the time of Shishubala's birth, it was announced, when the two hands drops off by seeing anybody, at that point, that person is going to kill Shishubala. This was known to Shishubala's mother. Shishupala's mother immediately prayed to Krishna that you should not kill Shishupala at any cost. Krishna agreed to Shishupala's mother, I will not do anything to him till he speaks 100 offenses to me, till he speaks 100 times offensive to me. On the 101st time, on the 100th time, when he speaks in offensive manner, I will kill him. So this was the words Krishna has spoken to Shishupala at that time, Shishupala's mother, and they left that scene. After all this was over, Krishna was standing there and continued to eat the butter. Later on, who came to see him? Vilumangalam came to see him. How did Vilumangalam get there? That's also an interesting question. This has happened 5,000 years ago. This whole scene came to Vilumangalam later on, because this is how all the great personalities like Rupa Goswami, Vilumangalam and others, when they realized the super excellent pastimes of Krishna, all those pastimes manifest in front of them. And this is how these pastimes manifested to Vilumangalam. Vilumangalam recorded this in Krishna Karnamalam. You can read it also there. What happened to Vilumangalam when he went to see Krishna. This is the reason why when these devotees, when they write such literature like Krishna Karnamritam and Rupa Goswami's great transcendental literature on Krishna's pastimes, why they are recognized by the great souls like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they have recognized them. It is only for this reason, because they know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knows very well that Rupa Goswami, Vilumangalam and others, many great souls like that, they had actually experienced this pastime directly themselves. Not physically in the material world, but in their dream state, they have gone through this. And because of that, they were able to write them, put them together in their literature. So when Vilumangalam came, what happened? Vilumangalam came and saw Krishna there standing like this. So Vilumangalam looked at Krishna. Krishna also looked at Vilumangalam. Vilumangalam said to Krishna, Krishna started narrating the whole story, what happened in the morning. After hearing the whole story, Vilumangalam started smiling, because Vilumangalam is an older person and he was looking at Krishna's face and saying that, is there any grain of truth in what you are saying? This is Vilumangalam's, because Krishna has told a long, long story to Vilumangalam that morning. When Vilumangalam heard all that, he realized that the whole thing is a completely fully false story that has been created by Krishna at that time just to mislead him. That he has understood. The story was this. Vilumangalam, Krishna said to Vilumangalam, what has happened to me today, you know? He said to Swamiji, Vilumangalam, do you know what has happened to me? Vilumangalam said, what happened? Whatever has happened to you, it's really very distressful. Vilumangalam says to Krishna. Krishna said, what shall I say? This whole day today was a very bad day for me. He says to Vilumangalam. Vilumangalam said, what happened? Krishna, he was very inquisitive, because he's the dearmost devotee of Krishna. He's asking, what happened today? What can I say? He said, the morning I get up, I don't know whom I saw first in the morning. Everything went wrong today. He said, normally my mother comes and wake me up every morning. That is the normal system in my house. But today, there is nobody in the house. Nanda Maharaj was not there. He has gone somewhere. What can I say? Mother Rohini was also not there. Normally Mother Rohini protects me from all other problems. Even if Mother Yashoda gets heavy with me, at least Mother Rohini protects me. Rohini is also not there. My elder brother Balaram is also missing. He has also gone somewhere. It's only my mother and me. Nobody else at home. We were having a quiet life today. We were having a very peaceful. But when I woke up this morning, normally my mother comes and wakes me up. That is how it's mentioned. How Mother Yashoda wakes up Krishna is also mentioned in the Krishna Karnamadam. Valsa jagriha vibhadam agadam jiva Krishna sharadam shadam shadam. That is how Yashoda Devi wakes up Krishna. Valsa jagriha vibhadam agadam. My dear son, Yashoda Devi will go and sit with Krishna every day in the morning before Krishna wakes up. And when Yashoda sits there and slowly massages Krishna's body, Krishna will suddenly turn his head from one side to the other side. And that was an indication for Mother Yashoda that her son Krishna is waking up. So it was getting brighter, 5:30 in the morning. Valsa jagriha vibhadam agadam jiva Krishna sharadam shadam shadam. My dear son, you should live for hundreds and hundreds of years. That was Yashoda Devi's prayer to Krishna at that time. So Yashoda was praying like this, and slowly Krishna will wake up, and then Yashoda used to carry Krishna from there to the kitchen in her own hands, and embracing him and giving him all the warmth and love what normally a mother will show to her baby. That is how Yashoda treated Krishna. And today there was no sign of the mother. Mother hasn't come. What is Yashoda done was that day, her plans all got upset that day. Everything went wrong. It was a horrible day for Yashoda. Yashoda thought, today Nanda Maharaj is not there, Balaram is not there, and also Rohini is not there. Maybe I should get up a little bit earlier and finish up all my kitchen work so that I am free to spend some time with my son. This is what it was in her mind. So she got up much earlier, milked the cows, brought the milk into the kitchen, boiled some milk, made some butter, churned it, made some butter, and then made some yogurt, made some cheese, all different things with the milk, what mother housewife does. She has done all of that. And then she was churning some milk, because by then Krishna woke up and seeing that Mother Yashoda hasn't come yet. From there, Krishna woke up suddenly and started rubbing his eyes. By rubbing the eyes, all the mascara, what was put on his on his eyes, that is all spread all over the face. And it is very difficult to explain how Krishna looked like at that time. The Krishna has one string with the nails of a tiger, which was decorated properly with gold, covered with gold, tied onto his chest. It is for the protection of the children. In the history, it is done like that. In the Vedic times, there were so many things worn by the babies for the protection from the demons and from the evil spirits and things like that. So Krishna was wearing all that, but that has all gone back to the backside. Then he was wearing a cowpeen. The cowpeen is missing, so it's better not to talk about it, what the situation was. And altogether, in a very unhappy mood, rubbing his eyes, Krishna walked into the kitchen. When he got into the kitchen, what did he see there? Yashoda Devi was nicely churning the butter in the butter pot and trying to make do something. And she was singing the songs which were written about Krishna by different people who have written nice songs and come and delivered to Nanda Maharaj. Nanda Maharaj didn't have much time to read all these songs written by different poets. So he used to hand them over to Yashoda Devi. Yashoda Devi, she was a good musician, she could sing very well. So what she used to do, she used to study all these songs and give music to them and learn them all by heart. She could sing hundreds of songs about Krishna which were written by different people in a nice melodious way. She used to sing them. And that was her happiness. She used to churn the butter and sing these different types of songs, what has been written about her son. So this was the scene that in the kitchen that Yashoda Devi was trying to churn the milk, churn the yogurt and make the butter from there. And that's all what was going on in the kitchen. So when Krishna came there, Krishna saw the scene altogether. And when he saw that, he went and held onto Krishna's, went and held onto Yashoda Devi's shoulders. As soon as Yashoda saw Krishna, she took him immediately, seeing that he has come before being woken up, and then started feeding him breast milk. And she was feeding the milk. And he started drinking the milk, and there was a cool breeze there at that time. And so Yashoda Devi has covered Krishna nicely, so he was having a little bit of warmth. And he was enjoying the milk. The babies have got one nature. When they drink milk a lot, they start drinking faster. When they start drinking faster, the milk goes into the head. And then the mother started patting their head to bring the milk down from there, which has gone through all the different senses. So it all comes down by them. So mothers have got different ways of managing these things. So anyway, Yashoda Devi did all what she could. And suddenly, Krishna is saying all this story to Vilamangala. Vilamangala is listening and smiling, hearing all these beautiful stories. That Krishna said to Yashoda Devi, Krishna said to Vilamangala, that immediately my mother told me that the milk is boiling off from the pot, she has to go. So she told me one thing, to look after this pot where there was yogurt which she was churning to get the butter. Look after this. There is that that dark cat wandering around here. He'll come and put his head in there and start drinking everything from all the yogurt. So keep an eye on the cat. And I said to my mother, I'll do that, he said. Krishna said, but I said to Yashoda Devi, I'll look after the yogurt, you go. So she went to the next room where the kitchen was, where the milk was boiling up. So she went there to take the pot away from the fire. and it took a while for her to come back from there. In the meanwhile, what happened? You know that cat? He says to Vilamangalam, Krishna is saying to Vilamangalam, that cat came over. And when the cat came, already I didn't like him, because the other day when Yashoda Devi gave me some nice rice mixed with yogurt, and I was eating that, and he came and suddenly snatched everything from my hand and ran away from there. And from that day I didn't like that cat at all. I was always hated him. And today he has come again. So I thought to myself, I should not allow this cat to put his head into this pot again and he'll spoil the whole thing. So what did I do? I just went there and I thought I wanted to bring that whole grinding stone myself, because it was too heavy for me. But that's a baby stone which they use for rubbing for grinding all the spices. That is how in the olden days they didn't have mixies or anything. They had to use stones to grind all the time. In the olden days, that is what was the system. So the small baby stone which they keep grinding on top, I picked it up, brought it down, and I just wanted to put it on him, on that cat, straight away and kill him. That was my intention, he said. But what can I do, Swamiji? I throw that on him, but unfortunately he jumped away and it fell on the pot, the whole thing broke. Now, by now my mother has come back. She has come back and she saw this whole thing. And what did I get? I got punished like this. I tried to do something good, tried to help her, but the result was that I had to suffer for this. And she started saying this and started crying again. Krishna started crying. At that time, Vilamangala started laughing again, started smiling. So Vilamangala smiled, Krishna gets upset, very upset. He said, you are trying to present your distressful condition to somebody. Is it very nice? The person who is listening is smiling at you. And whole thing happened like this. That time Vilamangalam said to Krishna that everything what you said is true, but I am not able to believe it, he said. So is there a statement like this? Everything what you said is true, but I am not able to believe it, he said. So Krishna says, why, what is wrong? That is what Vilamangalam said. Vadane navanida gandhavaham vachane taskara chaturim durinam nayane kuhanashumashrayeda charane komala tandavam kumaram. In the Krishna Ranamadam, in one verse, the whole thing Vilamangalam put it together. Vadane navanida gandhavaham. Navanida means butter. And when Krishna was eating this butter, the smell of the butter was coming for very, very, that was what was coming from the face. Because it's all around butter, all over the face. This eating the butter and crying and rubbing the tears with the butter together on the face, you can imagine that face, what it looks like. Vadane navanida gandhavaham. Then, vachane taskara chaturim durinam. Everything what he has spoken is fully lies. He says to, because nothing has happened actually. The story is completely different. Krishna has twisted the whole story. That day, to get that sympathy from Vilamangalam, he was trying to get vachane taskara chaturim durinam. That taskara chaturim, just like a thief, is trying to present the story. The story is being presented to me. Vachane taskara chaturim durinam. Nayane kuhana shruma shreda. All the tears that was coming from the eyes is nothing but the crocodile tears. It has no truthfulness in that. So Krishna says to Vilamangalam at that point, Swamiji, you are telling me everything what I say, you are saying it's a lie, it's a lie, it's a lie. Continuously you are telling me like this. If this is the case, how can I talk to you anything, he said. Krishna said to Vilamangalam, if you are continuously telling me everything what I am saying is all nothing but lie, 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 he said. So Krishna, Vilamangalam said to Krishna, do you require any proof for that? Krishna said, what is the proof? Charane komala tandavam kumaram. That just looking at your lotus feet, it is clear to me. Why? Because when Krishna was saying all this story, he was dancing as well with his feet. Will anybody dance when he is telling a lie like this? So Vilamangala said to Krishna, vadane navanita gandhavaham vachane taskara chaturim durinam nayane kuhana shrumashrayedha charane komala tandavam kumaram. So Vidyamangalam said, this whole thing is nothing but a fabricated story. Nothing else, he said to Krishna. Krishna said, what can I do? I have told you what has happened. If you don't believe it, what can I do? He said. Now, all this time we were talking about the house in Vrindavan. Where was our mind? Our mind, without any effort, immediately, if it was normal people, it would have thought about all what has happened there. It is natural. That is the way human mind is. When a story is spoken, especially a story what Krishna has created like this, to convince Vilavangalam about the truthfulness. Truth or not, somehow or the other, the whole form of Krishna and Krishna's different pastimes automatically will manifest in one's heart without any effort. And that is why the stories are presented in such a way in the Srimad Bhagavatam that every single pastime of Krishna, what Krishna has performed, is such a way that there are stories meant for meditation. Meditation means automatically, simply by hearing these stories as it is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam regularly, one will automatically be forced to absorb these things into one's own heart and constantly become an object of meditation. This is how that, this is the proof of that, the story that Kapila Vasudeva said to Devahuti Devi, that if one can absorb into Krishna's pastimes in this way, that is a simple process, because otherwise, generally, meditation is not an easy process. Meditation is a very, very difficult process. If you go by the normal process of meditation, that normally it is mentioned in the Bhagavatam also, this process of meditation is mentioned. Meditation is actually meant as dhyanam. Dhyana yogam is a process meant for absorbing mind in Krishna. That to absorb the form of Krishna in our heart is very, it is not easy. Why? Because inside is full of tamogunam and rajogunam. That is the two things inside. And unless the satogunam or the mood of goodness is inside, these things will not manifest in our heart easily. Krishna also says the same thing. In the Bhagavad Gita you will see a verse there. Urdvam gacchandi sattvastha madhye tishtandi rajasa jakhanya gunavrittistha adho gacchandi ramasaha. That this is the nature of the mind. That if one is in the mood of goodness, one is able to develop that mood of goodness. Urdvam gacchandi sattvastha. It is, if the satogunam is there, automatically he will go up in the spiritual life. Madhye tishtandi rajasa. That rajasa buddhi or the rajasa mood of passion will keep that person in this lower levels, in the disturbed condition of life. And this is the reason why in spite of so much of effort, we are still having that rajasa nature in us so much that we are not going up. We are still staying where we are. Madhye tishtandi rajasa jaganya gunavrittisto adho gacchandi ramasaha. That if the gunavritti or the activities of these three gunas is such, adho gacchandi ramasa, if one is covered, one mind is completely covered by the lower modes of nature, the only possibility for him is to go down and down and down. That is the way this system works. The three modes of material nature, Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita in this way. So, now let us go back into this yoga system. Why this dhyanam is important? Generally, we have seen before, in the last class we were discussing this, that the the best method to have that devotion to develop in the heart, one has to have that mood of goodness inside. If the mood of goodness is not there, that devotion will not develop in the heart, no matter how much we try endeavor ourselves in that direction. And for that, the easiest process was mentioned also in the Bhagavatam. Lord Kabila told Devahuti Devi that the best process is to follow those people who are in the mode of goodness, or those who are cultivating the mode of goodness strongly, associate with them. That is the best method. That is why it was mentioned there that this process of developing mode of goodness is a difficult one, because generally it is very, very difficult to find people who can give that kind of association, who has got that strength or the mode of goodness, who can share with you that mode of goodness. Once you fall into their net or fall into their association, automatically, without any effort, you will also develop that mode of goodness. But it is so difficult to find such people in that mode of goodness. Majority, you can say 99.9% of the people in this world, it doesn't matter who they are mostly in the mode of passion and ignorance. Because they have not transcended. They may say that I'm doing this, I'm doing that. They're always doing something or the other. But that is natural thing, that because the mood of goodness has not developed in the heart enough, that they are still engaged in so many other activities. They have to perform that. So in this case also, Lord Kapila said to Devahuti Devi, because it is such a difficult thing to find such people, there has to have other processes by which Satugunam can be developed in the heart. And it is then the discussion carried on from there. And at that point, Kapila Vasudeva said to Devahuti Devi that the living entity or the spirit soul sometimes able to understand that somehow or the other, we have discussed this before, that I am caught up in this 24 material elements. That is what Sankhya Yoga is all about. 24 material elements, because material nature has developed into Maya, which is Maya. Maya has come into Mahatattvam, Mahatattvam to Ahamtattvam, Ahamtattvam to Sattvika Rajasa Tamasam, the three modes of nature, then the five material elements. Through all this, the whole material creation has manifested. So the living entity, after it has associated with these different elements of material nature, has somehow or the other got trapped into it. That is what has happened. That is why it says that Prakriti Mahadahangarascha Matrascha Vede Abhikrata Vidashakshi Purusha Panjamimsham Iti Vidita Vibhagam Uchyadesaho Pragatyam Kabilagani Viditvam Devahutyai Negadil. Kabila Vasudeva said to Devahuti Devi, Prakriti Mahadahangarascha Matrascha Vede Abhikrata Vidashakshi Purusha Panjamimsham. Then, what are they, these 25 elements? The 24 material elements are 5 senses of knowledge, 5 senses of action. 5 material elements, earth, water, air, ether and fire. And then you have the 5 senses, shabda tanmatras they are referred to. Shabda, sound, touch, taste, form, and shabda sprasha rupa rasam and gandham, smell. So these 5 things exist. So 4 times 5 senses of knowledge, 5 senses of knowledge, 5 senses of action. Then 5 material elements, and then you have got these 5 senses, or not the sense objects. In other words, shabdam, sparsham, rasam, rupam and gandham. So this altogether 20. Then in addition to that, prakriti mahadahangarascha matrascha vedeyam mahatattvam ahangaram prakriti 23 and the mind 24. All these things, Kapila Vasudeva said to Devahuti Devi, together constitutes the what is known as the trap in which the living entity has fallen. But all 24 of these things does not create ultimately the trap. Purusha Panjavimsha. That is the 25th element. When the living entity got involved in that, he got trapped there. That is what has happened actually. The living entity by nature, by in its original constitutional position, has nothing to do with matter. It has nothing to do with matter, because actually in reality we are part and parcel of Krishna. We are not part and parcel of the material nature. But today we are seeing that ourselves and part and parcel of material nature. We are not seeing that we have any relationship with Krishna. That relationship is completely broken. Hardly we realize that, oh, who is Krishna? We never heard about Krishna. Only somebody tells us that, oh, Shastra says that we have a relationship with Krishna. But in our own mind, the strong conviction is that I am a part of this material nature. And this is the moment, although we are part and parcel of Krishna, the moment we are trapped into this material nature, we become Jiva. This is the time we turn from Krishna's part and parcel into a Jiva's position. Why do we become Jiva? Because the moment you become Jiva, you are part of this material nature. That's the nature of the living entity. So somehow or the other, Shastra is telling us all these things, and we understand logically. If you look at it, it is correct also. It makes sense, because everything what you are experiencing in this material world is temporary. It has no meaning really, in the sense that everything appears to us as though it has some reality. But if you analyze yourself, we can see from Jagra, Swapnam and Sushupti, the 3 states of existence, all what is happening is that the living entity is moving from one place to another, back and forth. And he does not know what is truth. Is this the day dream is the truth? Or the night dream is the truth? Or Sushupti is the truth? What is the truth? Nothing is the truth. But still, he is accepting everything as truth. That is our the unfortunate position. That in the Jagrat state, in the wake-up condition, whatever we are experiencing in this material world, we are still able to accept it as truth. This is the unfortunate. Although we know very well, nothing is truth here. Where is the truth? And similarly, in the dream state, as we move into the dream condition, Everything what was experienced in the awakened state is completely forgotten. It is not a truth anymore for us because we are not even aware of what was happening then. All what you find as truth at that time is what you are experiencing in the dream. So that becomes the truth at that point. Truth cannot be like this. So, but for the person, for the jiva who is trapped in this material nature, it is all truth at that particular point in time. He is thinking that the waking state is truth, the dream state is also truth, the sushupti state is also truth. So this way he is perceiving different things in this material world and is constantly. Just imagine that on the other hand, the person who is witnessing all these things, which is the living entity, he is the same person. He is the truth. He is the only truth in this whole thing. But he is at the same time thinking that everything else is truth. And whereas on the other hand, he has forgotten his own truthful condition, that his real identity in relationship with Krishna is the only truth. That has been completely taken away from him. That knowledge is taken away from him. Why is it like this? Why do we feel like this? What is the reason behind it? That we are experiencing this material world as reality and we are as the absolute thing and we find everything is true here. Whereas our own true identity, we are able to simply forget it, our relationship with Krishna. Why did this happen? There is a simple reason behind it. This is where the three modes of material nature comes in. That when the mind is covered with the lowest modes of nature, which is ignorance, tamoganam, all this knowledge will not manifest in that mind. It will never develop in that heart. It's not possible. Just like if you are in a room which is fully dark, there are so many things in the room, you cannot perceive anything because there is no light there. The things are there, you are there, but you do not know what is in the room. Why? Because it's completely darkness there. So because of the darkness, the situation is that you are perceiving everything as dark. And exactly that is the situation with us in this situation. That we are perceiving so many things. Why? Because there is not that light what is required to see the truth. That light is not there. Everything else is there. The sunlight is there, the moonlight is there, electricity is there. But still, that is not illuminating inside. The knowledge that is required to illuminate the consciousness is missing there. And that knowledge and that light what is required to illuminate the consciousness is known as the mode of goodness or otherwise satugunam. When satugunam manifests inside, automatically that person will start seeing things in a completely different way than what he is seeing today. That is the and that there's a lot of discussion on that. Again, further comes later. But at least for the moment we have to understand that this satugunam, as long as it is not there, the jiva is thinking that, the living entity is thinking that he is trapped in this material world. And what is the next thing? That is also a very important thing. When does the jiva comes into existence? Jiva comes into existence, but what stage does that happen? That I am away from Krishna, I am independent of Krishna. This thought has come to him in the process of creation when the false ego builds up inside. It is the false ego that separates him from his relationship with Krishna. And as it says in the Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, many, many places, Prakriti kriyamanani ahai unai karmani sarvasha ahankara vimodhalpa kartaham idimanyadeyam. That kartaham, I am the doer and I am the enjoyer. Karta and bhokta. This thought develops strongly in him. I am the doer and I am the enjoyer. I am in knowledge, I am in ignorance. I am enjoying, I am suffering. Like this, all the different dualities of material world comes to him as soon as the me, the thinking that I am the person who is doing everything, develops inside. And this I am is nothing but known as the false ego in the Shastra Ahangaram. But this Ahangaram is actually a hollow thing. It has no reality. Is that Ahangaram, where did this come from? How did this develop inside? And how did this Ahangaram make us think all the time that I am the doer, I have to do this, I have to do that, I have to go there, I have to meet him, I have to do this. So many I, and followed by me, later on, after that. So me and mine has come so strongly into his heart that he has identified, and in the Shastra says there, in the Lord Kavila says to Devahuni Devi, it is very simple, he said. As soon as this Ahangaram or the ego, what is inside, false ego, that is the person now. The person is jiva, originally he said is spirit soul, but now he is identified with him so strongly and with his body and with it, I am the person, that now it is him. What is he? What does he do?
He is like a painter. He has got three paints in his hands, three colors. And that is, these three colors are considered to be Sattvam, Rajas and Tamas, these three modes of nature. Exactly like a painter mixes three colors and paints pictures. All what he is doing is, this living entity caught up in this situation associates with the matter in this material world, and with the result is that he is generating a lot of things in his mind, and externally and internally. And that is what is material world means. Material world is nothing but what we have created in our mind with, in contact with the matter. But all the time, because of this false ego inside, and I am and mine, as it is stronger, the material world is also stronger. As this ego is weaker and one has managed to give up that, the material world also comes down. So that is the point Kamala Vasudeva was making to Devahuti Devi. So if a person has come to this stage, what can he do? He has to somehow understand that this is the situation. All he can do now is that he has to, a strong desire has now built up, that I have to come out of this ignorant state of life. This doesn't make any sense to me. That is how all the persons, people who are trying to advance on the spiritual path, they will think in this direction, that I have to come out of my janasya moho vayam aham mamedi, that I have to come out of this ignorant lifestyle, what I am leading, because I have no knowledge. I have to admit that I have no knowledge. It is no point in propagating or proclaiming to the world that I have so much knowledge. It is no knowledge, because if there is knowledge, the symptom of that knowledge will manifest in that person. Automatically it will come to him. That, and the real, really advanced souls who are practicing and progressing on the spiritual life, they will give up that ego from their side to the maximum possible way, so that they can see that this ego is the one which has caused at every stage the problem for them in their material world, or the continuation of this material body and the material world as well. So they are able to withdraw themselves from that and come back to their true identity. In other words, they want to come back to their relationship with Krishna, because according to Krishna, Krishna stated this in a very nicely in one verse in the Bhagavad Gita: Mama Ivamsho Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuda Sanadanam. Jiva Bhudam, the living entities are actually part and parcel of me. But then in the next two lines, Krishna says, Pragradhisthani Garsham Manashashtani Indriyani Pragradhisthani Garshari. With the mind and the senses, all he is doing is, he is grinding this material nature and he is trying to find some happiness there. That's what we are doing. Manashashtani Indriyani Pragradhisthani Garshari. That Pragradhisthani Garshari, exactly we are associating with this material nature so strongly that with the mind and the senses that we ourselves fall away from Krishna. Whereas, Mama Ivamsho Jiva Loke, when we are part and parcel of Krishna, we do not feel this material nature anymore disturbing us. And that is the condition of a liberated soul. Liberation and bondage is very much within the heart. It is not something kept separately somewhere else. It is available to those persons who has followed this process. And when one is released from his bondage, automatically he is in the liberated state of existence. Although it may appear sometime he lives in this material body, in his material world, still the person is liberated. Why? Because in consciousness, that person has already gone back to Krishna. He is not staying in this material world. That's a symptom of a liberated soul. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has explained this. Earlier verses in the second chapter itself, Krishna says there, for us, what we perceive as daytime, they perceive as nighttime. All this happens in that process. So anyway, here what happened was, Devahuti Devi was told by Kamala Vasudeva in this way. And Kamala Vasudeva explained to him that as soon as this concept is clear in your head, then automatically what does one do? The next thing he does is, now I have to get into the mode of goodness. That is what he will think. Any natural person will think like that. So then the effort starts from there, immediately. Up to now, it was mode of ignorance. Ignorance was that he had no concept that he was actually a part and parcel of Krishna. All that has gone away from him completely. He was in the material existence. But now suddenly this thought has come to him that he wanted to come to understand now, what is this truth behind it? There must be something behind it. Shastras are all saying this. Krishna is saying this again and again. In the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, all the Acharyas are speaking the same truth. So there must be some truth in it. So as soon as that concept comes to him, immediately he starts the effort in that direction. No matter what it costs me, I'm going to do that. I'm going to Himalayas, I'm going to do some performance penances, I'm going to do so many things, I'm going to study all the Shastras, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Because strongly inside your heart, the desire for developing that understanding is growing there in his heart. It's not something, because he has clicked that into his head, that this identity with the material nature is not my true position. There is something in a false situation I've fallen into and trapped into this Maya. But real position is that Shastras are all saying repeatedly again and again that I have some relationship with Krishna. Why that relationship is not there? So why should I want to see Krishna now? That thought comes to him and he starts working in that direction. Even at that condition, it is only he has come to the passional state. He is still in the state of passion. Because it is the passion that is pushing him. The Rajogunam is pushing him to do all these things. But after some time, by Krishna's grace and also by his effort, at some point in time, that will all come to an end. And it is then that he has come to the mode of goodness. And when the mode of goodness has come, automatically all these activities will stop. Why? Because by now, by this stage, the Satugunam has built to such a degree, the devotion to Krishna has also become very strong in the person's heart, that you cannot take it away. You cannot force that person anymore to fall back into the lower modes of nature easily, because he has already tasted what is Krishna. He has already started, that relationship with Krishna has been established. So Satugunam's strength is like that. Satugunam, you cannot easily ignore it. This is the power of Satugunam. And that is precisely the reason it's mentioned there. Prakriti gadagunauhi najyade purushoyam. That if the somehow or the other purusha or the living entity has nothing to do with material nature, that means we as living entities have nothing to do with material nature in reality. As soon as we learn how to keep away from the material nature, we will not be affected by that. Yadi dusatadidasyam talgunam stam bhajeran. But the moment we try to fiddle with the, or we try to enjoy the material nature, you'll be trapped. That's the nature. Prakriti gadagunauhi najyade purushoyam yadidu sajari rasyam talgunastam bhajeran madanubhagana tattvalojane sapyameyal kabilavanirigitvam devahute nigadin. That as soon as the thoughts comes to him, madanubhagana lojane sapyameyal, that as soon as he thinks in his mind that I have some relationship with Krishna, I want to go back to Krishna, and if that desire comes strongly into him, that sapyaveyal kavila tanuriditvam devahutyai nigari. Kavila Vasudev said to Devahuti Devi, immediately that person will escape from the grip of material nature. That is how it works. So then why, what has happened then? What has happened is that the person, he wants to do all these things. But unfortunately the material nature has so many obstacles on his path, has put on his path so many obstacles. He wants to advance spiritually, he wants to understand his spiritual identity, he's trying very very hard to find that. But he's not able to do that. Why? Because this huge tree that has been created in front of him, what we discussed before, that the material nature, from originally there was material nature, Maya it was called, from there developed the Mahatattvam. Mahatattvam came the Ahamtattvam. Ahamtattvam is the false ego. And from that Ahamtattvam, false ego, came into contact with the three modes of nature, and three different kinds of Ahamtattvam developed, Sattvikam, Rajasam and Tamasam. In addition to that, it contacted the five material elements, and then the whole tree was built up around that. The big tree, the stem, the branches, the twigs, the leaves, the flowers, fruits, everything came out. And that is that huge tree, what is known as the material nature. And it is in this material nature that we are trapped. And we are not able to escape from that. So, the immediately as soon as he takes to studying the Shastra seriously, when he starts studying the Sankhya philosophy seriously, little by little he will come to understand that this whole thing is not separate. They are actually one thing which has expanded in different forms. And these different expansions are nothing but the origin of this is the material nature. Example, if you look, we have seen last class, we are talking about that the five material elements, earth, water, air, ether and fire, and the five senses, namely shabdam, sparsham, rupam, rasam and gandham, that is sound of touch, smell and all these things. It has a sequence in the process of creation, it has happened. Now, the three things, for example, if you look at it, somebody has made a noise somewhere. That sound there, sound is one thing. Our sense perfection with the ear is another thing. And in between, there is the sky. So, these three things are there. The sound is there, the sky is there, and our senses are there. Nobody has put them together. But how did that interaction happen then? How did this interaction between the sound, which has originated some few yards away, has come to the senses, and the mind starts enjoying that sound happily, if it is a musical sound or whatever it is. The person who is enjoying is neither of these three, neither the sound, nor the sky through which the sound has traveled, nor the sense perception known as the ear. None of them has any involvement in that, in making the mind. But the mind is the one who enjoys this. This is where pranam comes in. Pranam, or the powerful living force which manifests in this world. That prana, there are five kinds of air in the body. The yogis have analyzed all this. Pranam, jnanam, samanam, udanam, jnanam. So these five kinds of air in the body, it is, which is in other words representing the time. Kalam is represented as pranam here. Prana helps these situations to happen. For example, if you are walking from A to B, how does the legs know that it has to take us to that point B where we want to go? How does the legs come to that understanding? Leg didn't come to understanding automatically. There is a living force inside. It is not that the mind and intelligence worked and told the leg to go there. That is only a superficial understanding. That is not the perfect understanding. Perfect understanding is behind this activity of moving from A to B, which guided all the way from beginning to end, is pranam. Pranam is what is doing that. The pranam, behind the activity there is pranam. Behind the pranam there is the mind, and behind the mind there is intelligence. So when all these three things are helping together, only at that point we are even able to move from one place to another. In other words, this complex material body, what we have, functions only with the presence of the Krishna's different energies, what has been put into us. Unknown energies, unknown to us, but known to the great yogis. They know which energy is functioning in which direction. For example, pranam is the one that keeps us functioning in this direction. Apanam is the one which helps us to evacuate and let other things move away from our body. These are different kinds of life air functioning within the body. Samanam is the one which balances it out all over the body. Like jnanam is the one which is spreading it all around. Like that, all these different kinds of air has been put into our body. For example, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that when one eats food, who knows that there is a desire, there is a fire of digestion inside? Who is digesting the food? Krishna is digesting the food. Krishna's presence in our material body, Krishna is establishing it again and again. It is me who is doing that. Aham vaishvanaro bhutva praninam deham ashadam. What can the scientist explain these things? How does the digestion develops inside? It's not that some mechanical equipment has been transferred to us. No. Actually, it happens when Krishna wants that to happen. That Krishna inside, as the fire of digestion, allows us to enjoy that food, digest that food, so that it can be absorbed into our material body and allows to be utilized. So Krishna is there in every second, in every activity in our material body. And when one realizes this and learns this through the Sankhya philosophy, he will come to understand that behind everything is Krishna. That conviction will come very strongly. And when that conviction comes strongly, automatically the mood of goodness will develop. Because by now, he has rejected the complete misunderstanding what he had in his mind throughout his life, what he has practiced with the help of the Sankhya Shastra or Sankhya philosophy. And when that happens, what happens is immediately the ignorant tamogunam has moved away and rajogunam has moved away and satogunam is built up, and the result is the devotion is also in its full bloom. In other words, he becomes so powerful in his devotional relationship with Krishna, this material world doesn't exist for him anymore. That is why he has completely ignores this material world. Material world is reality for us, those who are ignorant. But those who are liberated and who are on the devotionally, really closer to Krishna, for them material world is not a reality. It is only a temporary thing which has been created by the so-called mind, so-called the senses and the false ego. This is the result of that is the material world. He escapes from the grip of material nature and is properly situated. This is the, in essence, this is the Sangya philosophy which Kapila Vasudeva instructed Devahuti Devi. But there is also a problem. If it is like this, why not everybody don't go through that process? Instead of sitting 16 down, standing every day, and one has to do so much service in the temple, and study so many books, pay obeisances to so many people, all these things as a problem unnecessarily. Why not we follow this much easier process? It is not that simple, as it is said, that it is easier to explain these things. But when it comes to practice, it requires a teacher who can teach these things properly. This is the difficulty on these things. Secondly, one has to have that strong determination in his mind and also the strong conviction in the Shastra. And good knowledge of the Shastra is required if one has to follow this process. So therefore, to make it easier, there are other processes of yoga system. And this is how it comes in. So Kapila Vasudeva, while speaking to Devahuti Devi, he said to Devahuti Devi, for this reason, there is what is known as the Dhyana Yogam is recommended. Dhyana Yogam comes in at that point. That if one cannot develop this by studying Shastra and everything, forcefully, if one can practice certain things, one can develop that also. And that is how the Ashtanga Yoga system has come into existence. And it is this Ashtanga Yoga system whose Acharya is Patanjali, who explained this whole thing in detail in what is known as Yoga Sutra. Yoga Sutra is the book which covers this Ashtanga Yoga practices which Kapila Vasudeva uses here. Ashtanga Yoga system means 8 kinds of yoga system. Yamam, Niyamam, Asanam, Pranayamam, Pratyaharam, Dharana, Dhyanam, Samadhi. These are the 8 limbs of the Ashtanga Yoga system. Out of that, the Dhyana process is the most important thing. It is for meditation, what we explained before. Before we said about meditation, how one can meditate on Krishna's pastimes and engage the mind. It is the same thing what we have to do, but it is done in a different way in this case. What happens here is that, suppose one is not interested in the bhakti process. One simply wants to follow the process of Ashtanga Yoga and then develop mode of goodness and then bhakti. It is possible. It is possible to do that. But there is some problems. Like, out of these 8 kinds of 8 processes or 8 limbs of the Ashtanga Yoga system, it starts with the Yamam, Niyamam and Asanam. First 3. Pranayamam, Pratyaharam, Dharana. Next 3. The result is, if these 6 things are done properly, then you can practice Dhyanam or meditation. Generally, people will say, I've been trying to meditate. So many schools are there who teaches you how to meditate. But this meditation process is not that simple as they make us believe that it is. You can go into one room, switch off the light and close the door and sit there and start meditating. In a cross-legged position, you sit down and start meditating. If you start meditating that way, nothing will happen. After 5 minutes, you will be busy thinking about your bank balance or something else. That is the kind of meditation what you will get. Why? Because inside is full of tamogunam, full of darkness inside. What meditation can you do? There's a lot of institutions who offers how to do meditation. And they charge you also. And this is the easiest meditation. They give you a nice air-conditioned room also they provide sometime to do the meditation. But that cannot help, because if you look into Patanjali's Yoga Shastra or Yoga Sutra book, it takes you clearly that Yoga Chitta Vritti Nirodha, that first of all you have to stop a lot of things in your body, and that is why these 6 steps are mentioned before it comes into Dhyana, or the meditation process. What are they? Yamam, Niyamam, Asanam. These 3 are the external things. What are they? Yamam means not allowing the mind anymore to make the contact with the sense objects. In other words, all our senses are ready to take to the sense objects. For example, the eye is telling me that I want to watch the television. The cricket test is going on between India and England. Let me watch that for a few hours. It's not bad for a few minutes to watch that. But forcefully, I have to stop my eyes. No, I don't need to watch that. Why do I have to watch that? Why? Because my senses are demanding. So like that, every sense gratification, We have to learn the process to stop the senses in interacting with the sense objects. This is only one example. There are so many other things. So I just want to eat some rasagullas, I tell my tongue, no, you don't need to eat the rasagullas. But if you start doing this all the time, life will become really hellish after a while. Because ultimately, the senses are there and senses will not easily give away like that. It is says in the Bhagavatam also that this sense control is impossible, is really difficult. Unless one has such a strong determination in the brahmachari life is built up, that it's very difficult. So, this is the yama. Yama means not allowing the senses to interact with the sense objects. Now we come into the niyama. Niyama means that the mind has one nature all the time to think about the sense objects. This is another problem. That even if you have somehow managed to pull back the senses from the sense objects, this man called mind inside, he will not allow you to sit peacefully. He will constantly give you engagement in some way or the other. So many things will come, so many sense enjoyment what you had in the past, so many enjoyments what you have dreamt of, all these things will be continuously happening inside the mind. So one has to learn niyamam, or in other words, to how to get the mind out of this condition, this attachment to the sense object. Then the third comes, the third thing is how to control the body. That is what is known as asanam. Yamam, niyamam, asanam. Asanam means how to sit for an hour or two without moving, not even the slightest movement. That is required because in the yoga system, anything that moves, what is known as chalanam, it will disturb the pranam. Pranam's movement is disturbed if you start moving, the body starts moving. So in other words, we have to learn, we have to get that habit of bringing the material body completely under control, that for hours together we should be able to sit without moving the body anywhere. What can we do? If you sit in the Bhagavatam class, we sit sometimes like this, sometimes like that, and then sometimes any way we like. Sometimes we sit on the steps, sometimes we don't sit on the chair, sometimes we need the cushion, sometimes we want something to stand on. This is our condition. So where is the question of asanam for us? There is no asanam, nothing. Anything is an asanam for us at that time. So this is what is the problem is, that this eight kind of Ashtanga Yoga system, these are preliminary requirements before it comes into the meditation process. Yamam, Niyamam, Asanam. These three are the external things. Now we go inside and see what happens there. So that's more interesting. Pranayamam, Pratyaharam, Dharana. Three things Patanjali says. What are they? Pranayama means that now we are breathing in a minute five times or six times. If you can reduce the number of times you breathe by making it longer, ayama means to make it extended, that will help a lot in the purifying our senses inside. That is a way to do that. Pranayama process is meant for that. This pranayama has an influence in everything. Not only Ashtanga yogis practice this, in big temples in India, all the pujaris, before they go into the deity room in the morning, they perform pranayama. Why? Because if you perform pranayama, you are able to control the body to such a degree, finer degree, it will not allow the mind to wander away in different directions. For example, when a pujari goes into the deity room, he has to have a very, very clear conscience inside. He has to be free from all material thoughts. Externally you can clean up, so many nice materials available. All over you can wash and bathe as many times as you like, wear nice dhotis, put tilak and everything. That's all very nice. But if the inside is polluted, it's no point in going to see the deity and to do the worship of him if the mind is dragging around somewhere else. So therefore, it is a normal practice. In all the deity worship books also it will be referred to that pranayama should be practiced as many as possible. And through pranayama, one can purify inside. They're known as the three steps of puragam, kumbhakam and rejanam. That is the system. So if pranayama is practiced, it will purify inside. Then pranayama pratyaharam. Pratyaharam means the mind has not only this habit of sense, the attachment to the sense objects, it has also got, and not only thinks about the things what it has enjoyed, different kinds of sense perception in this world, shabdam, sound, touch, smell and all these things, that also attracts the mind. So one has to learn the mind to pull away from that also. That is known as the pratyaharam process. And then the seventh one is what is known as dharana. Dharana means to get the mind, to get the intelligence properly fixed up on and determined in what he wants to do at the end. So, because you may have so many ideas in your mind to engage in spiritual life. You may want to practice Ashtanga Yoga system, but unless the intelligence is there to give you the right discrimination and properly fixed up in your intelligence, you won't be able to do that. And that is known as dharana. So, yamam, niyamam, asanam, pranayamam, pratyaharam, dharana. If these six things are properly practiced and properly controlled, properly brought under control, then you can start dhyanam or meditation. And things will go much faster then. But without these six things control, the seventh one is just not going to help. It doesn't work. It is not possible because this is how Ashtanga Yoga system works. Now, in the modern days, there is so many yoga schools. They are teaching asanas. They just take that one part which is related to the body, what is known as yogasanam. Different asanas they teach you there. Nothing else. No nayamam, no yamam, no pranayamam, no pratyaharam, no dharana, nothing. Just the asana alone. So that is what people are after, because they are only interested that much. They just want to have their body in a good shape and not to get any diseases and want to cure whatever illnesses they have and keep in a good shape. So they go for asanas. That's what they are satisfied with. So, but here, what the important point to remember is that once we have gone through these six processes of yoga system, when it comes to the seventh one, dhyanam becomes a lot easier. At that point, because everything has been controlled so nicely, when he sits in for meditation, automatically dhyana prakriya or the process of dhyana meditation happens very, very nicely. And then the process of meditation begins from there. And quickly he will find that person develops the mood of goodness very nicely. And in the result is that his relationship with Krishna is very quickly established. And that relationship, when it is established with Krishna, that is known as samadhi. Samadhi is that state. When he has transcended through dhyanam, come to that stage. And in that dhyanam stage, automatically all the lower modes of nature goes away. Because mechanically he has managed to get everything under control. Mind and the senses and the intelligence, everything is under full control. Because they are under full control, all his activities also are very, very successful. So from that dhyanam stage, he is able to meditate properly, and in that meditation, he starts meditating on the Krishna's form. And that is also explained, how to do that meditation. That inside, when you look, it's all tamogunam. Tamogunam is the darkness inside. First of all, the darkness has to be removed. So first he starts meditating on the sun planet. And sun planet manifests inside through meditation. In this condition, he has to meditate that. He sees the lotus flower. Right in the middle of the lotus flower, he brings the sun planet. And because sun planet is burning inside, he has to cool it by bringing the moon planet inside. Like this, step by step, he is proceeding. And eventually, part by part, Krishna's complete body is meditated and fixed inside. And he gets into the process of meditation. And when he gets into that proper stage of meditation, the whole form of Krishna is completely seen inside in his own heart. He is able to see that form properly. And he will, once he starts seeing that, he starts realizing what he has missed all along his life. That is the point where he moves from dhyanam to samadhi stage. He doesn't want to come back again to this material world. He wants to stay in that position. But he has no choice. He has no freedom to do what he wants to do. Why? Krishna allows him to come to that stage, and sometime he has to come back again into the original state of Jagrat, Swapnam and Sushupti. When he comes back to Jagrat, Swapnam and Sushupti, he is still thinking, oh, I have lost that, something what I have enjoyed in that state, I have missed that again, I have fallen back. Then again he tries hard. After he tries hard many, many times throughout his life, at some point he comes to a state of existence where he never falls back into his three conditioned state again. He is in the liberated state, that is the samadhi state. So like this, Ashtanga Yoga system is there. This Ashtanga Yoga system also, Kapila Vasudeva Srishti Devahuti Devi, can help in some instances to get rid of that lower modes of nature from one's heart. And automatically all this is eventually leading to bhakti. That when Satogunam has manifested inside strongly, automatically that devotion also in the heart, then separation from Krishna is unbearable for that person. You'll find it so hard to break away from Krishna. Today we don't have any difficulty to break away from Krishna. We chant Hare Krishna, we go to Krishna, in front of Krishna, we pay our obeisances, but at the same time, our attachment to Krishna is not so strong. We are actually thinking that if Krishna tells me to go tomorrow, well, what can I do? If that's what Krishna wants, fine. I'll go my way and Krishna can go his way. This is our relationship with Krishna. But that is not a real yogi who has advanced in the proper path. His relationship with Krishna is not like that. Because by then, the relationship has grown so strongly that without Krishna, it becomes so unbearable for him to live in this world. That is the situation for a devotee who has reached that stage of realization. And that is a completely different situation than what we perceive today. When Kapila Vasudeva said all these things to Devahuti Devi, Devahuti Devi started thinking, what can I do now? I am so old, and all along my life, all I have done was, I was trying to enjoy my senses with Kardama Pradyavali. That's all I have done. And she can't sit even properly. And here, Kapila Vasudeva is saying that you have to perform these asanas, all these asanas, to learn how to control the body to sit properly. So Kapila Vasudeva said to her, don't worry about it, my dear mother. You don't have to worry about all these things. And he says to her, Sukham asanam asinam. Sit whichever way you like, whatever way possible, just sit down. Doesn't matter how you sit, it doesn't matter. Don't require any pranayama, don't require any asanam, nothing is required. Are you interested in hearing about Krishna? That will do. That's all what is required, he said. And he said to her, Sanjindayel Bhagavadas Charanaravindam Vajrangusham Vajasaro Orihala Anjanadyam. There is a 12-15 verses. It is explained there. Kapila Vasudeva says to Devahuti Devi, meditate on this form of Krishna. Continuously hear about Krishna, and that is enough. And simply by hearing about Krishna, if your mind is drawn towards Krishna somehow or the other, all this Ashtanga Yoga system and Sankhya Yoga is not necessary for you. And that is how Kapila Vasudeva concluded that discussion. And at that point, Devahuti asked a last question to Kapila Vasudeva. The question was that if this is how devotion develops in one's heart, are there many different kinds of devotees? This question came up from Devahuti Devi to Kapila Vasudeva. Devahuti asked this question to Kapila Vasudeva. Kapila Vasudeva said, generally I don't talk to anybody about the different types of devotees. This is what he said. Generally I don't talk about it, because if I talk about it, then the neophyte devotees, or devotees who have just come into Krishna consciousness, their tendency will be always to judge others. What kind of devotee is he? Is he a first class or a second class? Or is he in between, something that? This way you will start making judgments about others. And nobody has any license to do that. Because as far as Krishna consciousness or devotion to Krishna is concerned, it's a matter between the devotee and the Supreme Lord. Another person has no right to judge him what his relationship is. But still, he said to her, just like an example is given, sometimes at home, when you have small children and you give them a thermometer for measuring the temperature, he notices that it is meant for measuring the temperature. So when he sees that, he gets into his hand, he goes to everybody, tells you, open your mouth, let me check your temperature. He will give trouble to everybody, grandfather, grandmother, father, mother, brother, sisters. He wants to check everybody's temperature. It is exactly the same thing. As soon as you understand what is these different stages of devotion, the next thing what the person does is, he wants to go and assess others' devotional capacity or what state of devotion is he in. But Kapila Vasudeva said to Devahuti, since you are my mother and you are so old now, I know that you are not going to do this. So therefore, I'll explain that to you, the different states of devotees, different kind of devotees, and then you can decide yourself what you want to do. So he said to Devahuti Devi, generally there are four kinds of devotees in this world. There are four kinds of devotees. And this division is also based on the modes of nature. Some devotees are, they will come to the temple. They will see the deity and they will think Krishna is only in that deity, nowhere else. And they also think that deity is facing the east or facing the north, whichever way direction. So he can't obviously see at the backside what's happening, he can only see the front side. That's the type of people. There are kind of people like that who understands Krishna. they will not care for anybody else. All they are interested is, they come to the temple, I have to see Krishna now. And I have to say what I have to say to him. Everyone else is, let them go to hell, it doesn't matter. I have something to say to Krishna. I, that's so strongly in their head. So they are such people, such devotees, they are considered to be in the mode of ignorance. But they are also devotees, you cannot ignore them, because they have accepted Krishna, he is the Lord, he is the Supreme Lord. They have come to Krishna for some shelter, for something. They have some material desires also, along with that. In this understanding, they come to the temple. They don't see anything else. Everyone else in this material world doesn't matter to them. They ignore all of them. And as far as they are concerned, Krishna is in that deity, and deity is turning in the north direction. So that's all I have to look at, and I have to tell you what I have to do. So this is the mode of ignorance. Then there is another kind of devotee, higher than this, who is little bit higher, little bit mature, but his attitude is this, that I am a devotee, and the whole world actually should know about it. If the other people don't know how great a devotee I am, what's the point in me doing this? You know, is I am coming, and I have given so much hundreds and thousands of pounds to the temple. Other people should know about it. If they don't know what I have done to the temple, then there is no point in this, there is any fun in that, doing this. So this kind of thought, this is coming from Rajovanam. It is the Rajovanam behind it that makes that person to think like this, that he wants to make sure that everyone else in this world knows how much a great a devotee he is. And if he doesn't make others realize this, he doesn't get sleep. That's his problem. So there are people like that whose devotional qualities are on this lower modes of nature, on the mode of Rajovanam. So there's an example in the Shastra is like this. What it mentions is there, that a woman loves her husband very, very, very wholeheartedly. She loves him. Now, she is thinking that I love my husband so much. If the whole world don't understand how much I love him, and if I start displaying all my love towards him in front of everybody else, will that look very nice? That is not considered to be a very good thing. This relationship between the husband and the wife is a very personal thing, and it has to be kept within certain conditions. It's not to be displayed to the whole world. And the whole world doesn't have to know how much you love your husband. Or vice versa also, the man loving his wife. It doesn't have to be shown to the whole world. That is not a very cultured thing to do. But in the material world, what we find most of the time is that they will show all their love and affection, and the very next day, they are willing to fight and quarrel and leave and go in two different directions. So this is the kind, how much deep that love is. But for a few days, they are willing to show their love and affection so strongly that as soon as 10 days pass, a small crisis comes up, immediately all the loving relationship is shattered there. So this is coming from Rajovanam. Rajovanam's symptoms are all these things. So exactly like this, if a devotee is thinking that the whole world should appreciate my devotional qualities, how great a devotee I am, if he starts thinking, that is not a good thing. That is considered to be the mode of passion, or devotion in the mode of passion it is. Then, if you go a step further, somebody who has understood that surrendering to Krishna and worshipping Krishna is my responsibility, it is my duty, I have been given this material body, because by studying Shastra, studying Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, he has come to accept that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. My relationship with Krishna is, I have to serve him, I have to surrender unto him, it is my duty. In that way, when one person thinks that, and he surrenders to Krishna and starts serving Krishna, that devotion is considered to be in the mode of goodness. Somehow or the other, by Krishna's grace, I have got this material body. It is my responsibility to serve Krishna, because he has given me this material body to serve him. One is in that conviction, and he is serving Krishna wholeheartedly. In that way, he is considered to be in the mode of goodness. That is the devotion in the mode of goodness. Even then, it is only comes to the mode of goodness. That is what Shastra says, Srimad Bhagavatam says there. Why does it say that? Because there is a state of relationship with Krishna which is beyond these three modes of nature. That is known as Nirguna Bhakti. Nirguna Bhakti means that relationship. Mama guna gana lila karna ne kirtana dev maisura saridhogam prakhya chitta anurti bhavati varama bhakti sahi mrityor vijetri kabiradanuridi tvam devahutye negadil. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, referring to this, Mama Gunagana Leela Karnane Kirtanadev, when a devotee comes to the point of realization that simply glorifying Krishna, all the time talking about Krishna to others, and simply absorbed in Krishna's thoughts, Mayisurasaridhogam prakhyajita anuvrati, that his mind, inner consciousness, has no more enjoyment of this material world anywhere. No matter you give him the material world and even the Brahmaloka presented to him, he rejects that. He comes to that state of consciousness that all he wants is all the time engaged in the service of Krishna, both physically and mentally. And when he comes to that state of existence, Mayisurasaridhogam prakhyajita anuvrati, bhavati parama bhakti, that is the highest kind of devotion, which is nirguna bhakti, beyond the three modes of material nature. Sahi mrityo or vijetri, what is the quality of that kind of devotion? It can even cross over death. In other words, death cannot disturb that person. Sahi mrityo or vijetri, kabilaganuriri tvam devahutyai nigadi. And that is the ultimate realization, or ultimate kind of devotion, what elevates a person who is in the lower modes of nature. When he comes to that state of existence, that is known as the pure devotional state or pure devotee state of mind. That so it is not something which is easily achievable for all of us. We have to put energy, and by all these things can only happen when there is a grace from Krishna to happen. So I will stop there now. And that with that Dhyana Yoga process was discussed there. And with that Dhyana Yoga process ends the three yoga systems, what Kapila Vasudeva wanted to say to Devahuti Devi. In that he covered first pure Bhakti Yoga, which is the process by associating with the devotees and with the help of the devotees, how one can come to that mode of goodness and eventually pure devotion. Secondly, to help that one who cannot do that, the process of Sangha Yoga was described. Through Sangha Yoga process, by intelligence, by using the intelligence, determination, studying the Shastra, how one can develop that kind of devotion. It is possible to develop the mood of goodness and devotion. And thirdly, beyond the Bhakti Yoga and Sangha Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga system through Dhyana Yoga was mentioned, how to meditate on the form of Krishna and through that get that realization of through the Dhyana Yoga process, eventually to the Bhakti Yoga process one can attain there. So all these three things were instructed by Lord Kapila to Devahuti Devi in these last chapters. And here we find there is few more chapters which comes into this Kapila Muni's instruction, which are all very, very important instructions for a devotee, because this covers all the devotional principles. What we have to understand is that it is through this that later on in the Ekadasya Skandham also, while Krishna is doing, saying, it is nothing but these things are expanded in a nicer way to Uddhava. And this is the principle is ultimately is the same, that the mind which is attracted to sense gratification, if it is taken away from there and attached to Krishna, automatically leads to liberation. Chedakhalvasya bandhaya muktaye chalpano madam guneshu saktam bandhaya radamva pumsi muktaye. That is, in one simple verse, this whole process was compiled or compressed into one verse by Kapila Muni. And I will read that chapter now, just one chapter. Shri Bhagavan Vaja. This is the 28th. Yogasya lakshanam makshesa bijasya nupal majayamano yene yuva vihina prasannam yadisalpadam sudharmajaranam shaktya viharmachani vartanam deivaal labdhena sandosham alpavicharana achanam gramya samanivartishya moksha dharmaradistala miramedhyadanam shashwal vivitta kshema sevanam ahimsa satyamasteyam yavadartha varigraha brahmacharyam tapashaujam swadhyaya purusharchanam maunam sadasanajayam sthayam pranajayashane pratyaharaschendriyanam shayan manasakriti sudhishnyanamekadeshe manasa pranadharanam vaikundalira abhidhyanam samadhanam tathalpanam Evairanyeshapadivirmano dushtamasalpadam buddhyayunjidashanavirjidapranohyatandridaha shujaudeshepadishtabhyam vijidasanavasanam tasmin swastisamasinam krishukayam samabhyasel pranasyashodhayanmargam purakumbhakarechayai pradigulenavachitam yathastinam achanjaram manojirarsuadhirajam jidashwasasyayogina vayuadnibhyam yathaloham matram tajadivaimalam. pranayamena dahineyam doshan dharana dushtakilpishan pratyaharena samsargan dhyanena anishwaran gunan yada manasvam virajam yogena susamahyam kashtam bhagavato dhyayel sonasagravalokanaha prasannavadanam bhojam padmagarbharune kshanam neerolpilalashyamam shangajakragadadharam Lesal Pangayangjalkam Pida Gaushayava Sasam Srivalsa Vakshasam Brajal Kaustubhan Muktakantharam Matadhureva Galaya Parigam Manamalaya Parardharavale Kiridangalam Upiram Kanji Gunolasa Shonim Kodaya Moja Vishtaram Darshaniyadam Shandam Manu O Naya Vardhanam Adhicha Darshanam Shashon Sarvaloga Namaskaram Sandam Mayasi Kaishore Vrityanu Vyahakalam Kirtanya Tirtesha Sambunya Shogesha Skaram Yaye Devam Samajangam Yavana Chavimanam Sidam Rajanam Asinam Shayanam Vaguhashem Prakshanehiram Yael Shuddhavavina Chedasa Tasmim Labdhavatam Chittam Sarvayam Samstidam Vilakshaikatra Samyujya Ange Bhagavadomi Sanjindayel Bhagavadasharanare Vindam Manjanangusham Dajasaram Urihalanjanadhyam Uttungiretta Vilasarnakaya Kravaram Jolsna Virahadam Hari Hrdayam Thakaram Yachaujanistrasaril Proviroda, Virkena Mudhariana Shiva Shivabhul, Yadur Manashamashayam Sushtavajam Jaya Shiram, Bhagavadam Sharanarayam, Janadvayam Janajanya Lashmi Angilasa Sravandidaya Vidhadu, Ur Nidhaya, Karabalavarajushayal Samdaridam, Buddhivipo Rapasya Guryal, Urasovarnabhayura Dishopamanam Vyajonidi, Atasayagusamavasav, Yarambi Vidavaram Asusavartamanam Kanji, Kalapaparam Vidambabimbam. Nabikradam, Hunagosha Bhodayastam, Yatta Atmayonishana, Gilalavadmam, Vyudham, Harinmanim, Vishasthanayo, Ramashya, Jaya, Dvayam, Vishadaha, Ramayugha, Gauram, Vachodivasam, Vashamasya, Mahavibhude, Pumsammano, Nayanavarpurdi, Mahadhanam, Kandam, Yakaustuma, Vanayrati, Bhushanartam, Kuryam, Manasakiraloga, Namaskradasyam, Baham Shamandra Giri Parivartanina, Nirmitta Bahuvalaya Anadhi Lokavaran, Sanjindaye, Dashashalara Masakhyadejam Shankamja, Talkara Saroryuha, Raja Hamsam, Kaumodagim Bhagavado Daidam Smarena, Digdham Radhi Padashamunida Kardamena, Malam, Madhupradavaru Dhagiro Bhagushtam, Chaitas, Saityasthatum Amalam Manimasya Kante, Bhutyanu Kambita Dehe Dhuhira Murte, Sanjindaye, Bhagavado Vadanaravindam, Yadhyaspuram Magaramundalavil Gena, Vidyodhidam, Adhyodhidam, Alakamora Mudara Nasam, Yachayedam Alipi Parisevyamanam, Bhutya Swayam, Kudilakundalavan Dajushtam, Meenadvaya Ashrayamadi Kshivadabjanetram Jayen Manomaya Matandrita Mullasal Bhom, Tasyavalongamadiyam Kumayadi Bhoram, Tabatraya Vashamanayam Rishtamashtamoho, Snigdhastidani Udanam Yubula Prasadam Jaye Chiram Yubula Bhavanaya Guhayam Hasam Hare Abanadagira Loga Divram Shoga Ashu Sagara Vishoshanam Atyudaram Samohanaya Rajitam Nijamaya Yasya Bhumandalam Munikrate Magaradvajasya Dhyanayanam Prasidam Bhuladharashtam Vasarunai Tadanuddhijakunda Bhakti Jaye Sudeha Bhare Vasidasya Vishnu Bhaktyatraya Arpitamana Namrutam Udhidrakshel Evam Hareo Bhagavati Pradilabdhavavo Bhaktya Bhavardhade Mulpulaya Pramodal Aulkandhya Bhashvagalaya Bhuradhyamanam Tachar Jitta Vidisham Shanagir Vyumte Mukta Ashrayam Yakhini Vishayam Virektam Nurvana Vachari Vanasakasa Yatharchi Alpana Matra Vrisho Vivadhanam Egaman Yikshari Pradinivurta Una Pravaha Sopedaya Charmanyamana Sonurtya Tasmin Mahimnyasita Sukadukha Vahi Hedutam Apyasari Kartari Dukhayo Yel Swatman Vigatam Yatha putracha vitracha putang matte pudiyade apyat matuena abhimada dehadi purushastada edo ilmukhadya spulinga dhumadu adisusam maval apyat matuena abhimatya yathami padagul ilmukhad budendriyam dakaranal pradhana jivasam idal alma matada padag drashtam bhagavan brahmasam idam sarva budeshu jatmanam sarva budani alpani ikshedana nivhavena budeshu dadalpanam Soyoni Shira Jodi Egam Nana Apoliyade, Yoninam Gunavashamyal Tathal Mahapagla Usira, Tasmarimam Swampagadim Bhim Sasadal Niyam, Durvibhavyam, Parabhavyam, Sarubena, Avadishtare, Vishimad Bhagavad Mahaprani, Tridiyaskandi, Kabileyo Bhakyani, సాధనానుష్ఠానం అష్టవింశోధ్యాయ సో దట్ ఈస్ ది ధ్యాన యోగ ప్రాసెస్ వాట్ ఈస్ మెన్షన్ ఇన్ ది థర్డ్ క్యాండో అండ్ విల్ డిస్కస్ ది రెస్ట్ ఆఫ్ ది క్యాండో ఇన్ ది నెక్స్ట్ క్లాస్ ఇఫ్ దేర్స్ ఎనీ క్వశ్చన్స్ ఆర్ ఎనీథింగ్.
Just noticing, you know, it's going through and seeing the translations, the beautiful descriptions of Krishna.
Yes, it's quite, see that 15 verses really, almost, yeah. How one should meditate on that form, yeah. That's what is explained in that. Yeah. That for one who is looking for meditational process, the how Krishna's form should be meditation. Now, there is again, how should one see Krishna? That is mentioned. In the third canto, one should start with Krishna's lotus feet and it should go up. That is how the meditation is mentioned in this. Sanjindayin Bhagavadis Charanaravindam, Krishna's lotus feet, one should see. But when one sees Krishna's lotus feet, what should one think? That is, even to that extent, Kapila Vasudeva is telling us what one should think at that time. It is from this lotus feet Ganges has come. That Ganges river Ganges has come from Krishna's lotus feet. And by taking that Ganges on his head, Lord Shiva has become Lord Shiva. That is, otherwise he was not Lord Shiva before. Lord Shiva became Lord Shiva, purified himself by absorbing. The story of how Ganges came to this planet is mentioned in the ninth canto. That we will see when you come to that. So there it says that by accepting Ganges on the head, Lord Shiva got himself purified and he became Lord Shiva. And one should see when he thinks about this lotus, it is from this lotus feet that Ganges have originated from Krishna's lotus feet. Like this, or every part of the body, there are different things mentioned that one should remember. Different parts of Krishna's body, how each one has, in some pastime or the other, has taken a prominent role. And if one thinks like that, that memory or that remembrance of Krishna's different pastimes will help him to develop that Krishna's form in one's heart seriously to meditate. Otherwise, just like when we are chanting, normally when we chant Hare Krishna, I don't know, it's my experience is that most of the time mind is somewhere else. It never stays on Krishna. It is not possible to pull this mind easily back into the Mahamantra. The Mahamantra is so powerful that the whole Mahamantra, if it is chanted properly, it is capable of giving results very quickly. But because our lower modes of nature are so prominent in us, that even though we chant 2 hours or 3 hours or 25 rounds or 50 rounds, still we find that we are not developing that strength in us. And because of the lower modes of nature, it's pulling us down all the time. So that is why here we find that the process of meditation, what is explained here, can help a devotee who is serious about spiritual life. It is for them that all these things were spoken. And often, many, many great devotees, they have used this meditational process, what is mentioned in the third canto, to their advantage. That they spend hours in meditating on Krishna's form, so that way they were able to purify. Because anything related to Krishna is purifying, just like the holy name is purifying. The form is also purifying. And in course of time, one will automatically feel that purity within oneself when one is practicing this kind of meditation.
You explained about the 24 elements of material nature. Yeah. Could you explain about the para prakriti or apara prakriti?
Yeah. That is very easy. Para prakriti and apara prakriti, easy to understand. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, abhareyam idastvanyam prakritim vidhime param. Yeah. That's the word Krishna has used. Abhareyam idastvanyam prakritim vidhime param. That this material nature is one of my nature, Krishna says. Superior to that, there is a higher nature, which is the spiritual nature. And the living entity is situated in between this material nature and the spiritual nature. That is why we are called as the marginal potency. In the marginal position, we can fall into paraprakriti or we can fall into aparaprakriti. One of them. In the spiritual nature, our identity with the material nature is completely broken away. So the living entity is in relationship or in liberated state, is in relationship with Krishna. But when he has broken away from Krishna, he falls into the material nature, which is the lower form, lower existence,
para-prakriti.
And he falls into that, and then he becomes a part of the material nature. That is what has happened to all of us in this material world. So that is in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains that. Aparayam idastvanyam prakritim vidyame param jivamulam mahabaho eyedam dhairi jagat. All this living entities in this jagat universe have fallen into this material nature, and therefore they are unable to understand me because of this. This is what Krishna says.
What does Sanskrit, the para means?
Para means, in the strict sense, para has got different meanings, in different situations when it is used in different forms. But in this particular instance, para-prakriti means my lower nature.
Lower.
Yeah. And prakriti is nature, lower and higher, in that sense.
Apara means higher.
Apara is higher, yes. Mm. In that sense, it is mentioned here. But there are certain other instances where it is used in different, depending on the situation.
Sure.
Yeah.
We're talking about the lower minds of nature, which are controlled by the Shiva and the Brahma. So they're great devotees of Allah.
Yes, they control the lower modes of nature, but they are not in the lower modes of nature.
No.
Yeah,
but
that's the difference.
But they can see us as devotees, that we're practicing very hard to get to the Sattva Guna.
Yeah.
But, I mean, are they not compassionate? Is it not possible to pray? Is it possible that we can actually pray to
them? Yes, you can, yes. There are a lot of people who praise to material nature as Durga form, not to disturb me in my spiritual life. Some devotees pray like that. In fact, the gopis in Vrindavan also prayed to Durga Devi at one stage when they felt that that Katyayani Mahamaya, she addressing the Mahamaya or Durga Devi, they are praying to her. Mahayogini, Adhishwari, Nanda Gopasudam Devi Padime Kurde Nama. What they said to her was that we want Krishna has to come as our husband. And they were praying to her, not to Krishna. Why did they pray to her rather than to Krishna? Reason is that in their psyche they have developed that relationship with material nature. Maya Devi is in charge of material nature. So they prayed to her, if you want us, you can get us what we want. Because what is actually blocking us from Krishna is only one thing, material nature. It's material nature between us and Krishna. What is standing is as a block in between us. And we, busy, caught up in this material nature, are not able to escape from that. So any help is welcome from any corner. If it is Shiva or Brahma or somebody, Durga, or no matter who can give, you still can take it. It doesn't matter. But it is possible some devotees do pray like that. That is why in some other Vaishnava sampradayas also, they simply don't worship only Krishna. They also worship Ganesh sometimes. They worship to some extent. They also, some of the traditions, they also worship take the help from other demigods like Lord Shiva and Durga Devi. It is not unusual. They worship them also. Thinking that probably they can help me somewhat, not to disturb me at least. Because Maya has caught us in her grip so strongly. And with all our effort, we are not able to come out of it. We are doing everything, but it's not coming out easily. Success is not on our side. So, therefore, they become very serious. For example, Vilumangalam was not a Krishna's devotee in the beginning. Vilumangalam was never a Krishna's devotee. Vilumangalam was a devotee of Lord Shiva. And in his prayers, Shaivavayam Galidatra Vijayaniyam, he says in the Krishna Ganamakam, he says that we are Shaivas, we are Lord Shiva's devotees. That is how he says. Why your class was devoted? But he prayed to Lord Shiva, and because his prayers were so fervent, eventually Lord Shiva gave him devotion to Krishna at the end. See, it's a fine example of Shiva helping a devotee. That if he has worshipped Shiva so seriously, then they were Shaivas, they were worshippers of Lord Shiva from generations. And he has become one of the best devotees of Krishna. How did that happen? Because Lord Shiva has helped him to get that position. So, if we also can please Lord Shiva somehow, there is nothing wrong, because Lord Shiva can help you to get that Krishna consciousness, your devotion. All this nature, material nature will go away from our path. Similarly, some people pray to, they serve Durga very sincerely, because praying to your mother is much easier than praying to your father or anybody else. A lot of people have that, the relationship with the mother like that. So they pray to Mother Durga. That is why all these famous Durga temples in India, they still have a lot of devotees coming. Vaishnava Devi in the north and Kanyakumari in the south. And so many big, big Durga temples, very massive temples they have built for Durga Devi and worshipped very strongly in those places. Why? Because they worship them. They know that if she gives you a little mercy, then this material nature withdraws from you completely. All this knowledge what you are talking about automatically manifests in you. That is why demigod worship will never go away from this world, no matter how much you try to take it away from them. It will always be there, because attachment is such a thing that those who have worshipped Vaishnava Devi for many, many years in their lifetime, they will find it very hard to throw it away overnight and say that, no, I will take to Krishna's shelter. It will not happen. But Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that even if somehow or the other it happens, eventually by my mercy they will come back to me. Krishna says, because if you are worshipping with the right understanding, then my intention is to ultimately go back to Krishna. And with that desire, if they serve Durga Devi, Durga Devi will provide the help for them at some stage. So this is all there in the Bhagavad. So I think we'll stop there. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.
Yeah.
Right. Ishamanishad is this. There are 108 miniature Upanishads. Right. What is Upanishads means? Upanishads means, just in sages language, to bring somebody closer. That is Upanishads. Yes? That knowledge which brings somebody closer to the absolute truth. That is the knowledge in the Upanishads. The persons who follow Upanishads are known as the Jnanis. The people who study Jnana Margam, or the process of knowledge, they study Upanishads seriously. Mm. Out of these 108 Upanishads, there are 10 major Upanishads, and that is listed there. What they are is Isha Kena Katha Prashna Unda Mandukya Taitiri Aidareyam Chandokyam Bhadaranyam. These are the 10 names of these 10 Upanishads. And out of that 10 Upanishads, Isha Upanishad is the first one. Isha Upanishad, Isha Kena Upanishad, Katha Upanishad, Prashna Upanishad, Isha Kena Katha Prashnam, Mundaga Upanishad, Mandukya Upanishad, Unda Mandukya Taitiri Upanishad, Chandokya Upanishad, Bhadaranya Upanishad, Aidareya Upanishad. These are the 10 Upanishads, major ones, out of the 108. Now, these 10 major Upanishads have been commended by all the great Acharyas. Shankaracharya has commended, Ramanujacharya has commended, Madhvacharya has commended. The three important Acharyas, they have commented on all these 10 Upanishads. Right? So, generally, Ishopanishad, among these 10 major Upanishads, has a very important factor, because in Ishopanishad, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is glorified. Than in the other Upanishads. Other Upanishads are mostly referring to Brahman realization. Brahman realization. That is specifically the reason why Prabhupada has commented on the Isha Upanishad. Mm-hmm. So Isha Upanishad, if you read through all the verses, it's all addressing to the Supreme Person, who is Krishna. And Krishna's energies are referred to in the Isha Upanishads, right? So, and also in these 10 mantras for which Prabhupada has given the 18, the mantras 18, are the 18 mantras. Yeah. 18 mantras which Prabhupada has commented explains to us that the living entity's role and position in this material world in relationship to Krishna. That's what is explained there. So, that Isha Upanishad is, I don't know who are the sages who have compiled these Upanishads. Different Upanishads have been compiled by different sages, big, great, great personalities who lived thousands and thousands of years ago. And in that Upanishads, they are all mantras. So each mantra, if you start taking from Isha Upanishad, Purnamidam, Purnamada, Purnamidam, Purnal, Purnam, Pramachale, Purnasya, Purnamadaya, Purnameva, Vashishale. That's the first mantra in the Upanishad. Now, that verse is explained in detail in the commentaries. You can read by the Acharyas. They have commented on it so elaborately. From there you can understand that the sage who has written this mantra was not a very ordinary person. He had such a deep understanding of it, or the depth of understanding was so high on the nature of the absolute truth. So like this, every mantra, all the 18 mantras are important in the Isha Upanishad. So Prabhupada presented Isha Upanishad for this reason, that it represents the Supreme Person, absolute truth in a person form. Mm-hmm. Other Upanishads are not that much, but all the other Upanishads have a lot of stories behind it. Like Mundaga Upanishad. Who study Mundaga Upanishad? The sannyasi will study Mundaga Upanishad. Mundaga means to shave up the head. So it is meant for the sannyasis. Mandukya Upanishad. Mandukya means actually a frog. So it has a relationship with the frog, that Upanishad. So the stories in that all are reflecting certain truth in relationship with something in the material nature. It's all very interesting to read. If you read, you will find it very interesting. And but a lot of them are referring to the impersonal Brahman, impersonal realization. That's what's coming out from there, a lot of the Upanishads. So therefore, we don't spend a lot of time reading that. For devotees, it's not particularly useful. But Upanishad is particularly useful because of its specific nature as the glorifying the Supreme Person. And Prabhupada has given an excellent commentary. It can easy to understand, easy to relate with it. And some of the prayers in the last verses are so valuable that a devotee is praying to Krishna. Kadosmara, kadosmara. You know that verse at the end? It says there that at the time of death, the devotee is saying to Krishna that I don't know you, I have not met you before any time, I never known you. But please don't forget me, what I have done for you in my life. This is a very nice prayer to a Krishna to say for a devotee. If you can say this prayer and die, leave this world, you will not reach into a bad place. You will get into a good destination. Because if your feelings are, you are honest about it, that you have done something for Krishna. Honestly, if you have done something for Krishna, if you have glorified Krishna, if you have served Krishna at some stage in your life, and if you still remember that, you can put that to Krishna at that time when leaving this body. That's what that verse is indicating. In this world, things will come and go very soon. Everything will be finished one day and we have to live. But the time of death is the most important time in one's life. And at that time, if one can somehow or the other focus the mind on Krishna and put this prayer to Krishna, it's a very, very knowable and cultured prayer to Krishna.
In any mantra, is the Krishna name mentioned?
Krishna name is not mentioned, but it is directly referring to Krishna. Oh. Yeah, it is. No need to, I don't think anywhere it's mentioned as, probably somewhere it's mentioned there, I'm not sure, where Krishna's name particularly mentioned, but this, every acharya has accepted that this is in reference to Krishna. But because at the time of death, you don't think about other deities, you only think about Krishna, nobody else. Other deities you think in this material world when you want to achieve something, or when you want some help in your spiritual life. At the time of death, even Shankaracharya, who compiled all these commentaries on Vedanta Sutra, he, when his mother died, he came there, and mother wanted to, mother was saying to Shankaracharya that I am frightened, because Shankaracharya at that time invoked Lord Shiva to appear there in front of his mother, and she got frightened seeing all Shankaracharya's, Lord Shiva's associates with him. At that time, Shankaracharya took Lord Shiva away from there and brought the Supreme Personality of Godhead there, Krishna there, and she smiled at Krishna and left this world. The mother, his mother. So you can see that at the time of death, every great personality remembers Krishna, nobody else. Because that is who is the person who can guarantee you about your next life, nobody else. Others cannot help you very much on that. That's the reason. So.